Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll continue with the calls here in just a little bit. I still have some notes to get to, BT, before we say goodbye at 2 o'clock. You know, we touched on it a little bit yesterday at the start of the show with the Jets. And training camp is open now for, of course, the both Jets and Giants. I got to watch that Giants Hard Knocks. I was watching the Subway Series last night. I was working.
Yep.
I probably won't even get a chance to watch it today because same thing. Subway Series, I'll be working all night at SNY. But I'll catch up with the Giants. I know Evan Neal has become a story, you know, popping. That's a horrible pick by Joe Shane. Total bust. If he can't play, that's going to be a disaster. And already set the Giants offensive line up on the wrong foot to get going here. But the Jets with Reddick, that was the big thing from yesterday where, you know, we talked about Saleh and the impact. We mentioned that earlier. But this Reddick thing is going to be a problem here. Sure. And I don't think it's going away where I think the Jets have no leverage here. Reddick's got the hammer. The Jets foolishly trusted him, thinking that he took him at his word, thinking that, okay, well, they'll negotiate in season based on how he performs, and he's not there. And that is, to me, this is going to become the story as we get closer and closer to games actually starting without their premier pass rusher.
He's playing this year. I just can't imagine that he sits this year out.
You think he blinks first?
I think that there's a mutual softening or thawing, if you will. I believe it gets done. I just believe it gets done. You know, it seemed like the Jets had this in order, and they presented everything that they needed to present to Hassan Reddick before they actually made the trade, and he seemed amenable to it, and then all of a sudden he didn't show up. And that's not dealing in good faith. That doesn't reflect well on Reddick. I don't begrudge him for trying to get every penny. I really don't.
Right.
But I think that...
No, this to me would be on the Jets because they knew he wanted the contract.
Yes, yes, but they apparently already addressed a bunch of things, like converting money, non-guaranteed, to get, and he said okay. Before they actually consummated the trade, like they made sure to check.
But they must not have done it because it's not.
Well, no. Or he did it and he just lied, and he really misrepresented what he was willing to do. I don't know because he thought that what you just said.
Right.
And I don't want to say that he lied. I'm not saying that he did because I don't know him and I don't know the dynamics of the relationship so far between the Jets and Hassan Reddick. But the Jets went to him. This is not speculation. This is true. They went to him and they said, all right, we'll do this, that, and the other thing. Then we'll kind of revisit this down the road. It was good enough for him in real time. And he gave them his word, his assurance that he would then report, participate, and then they would work toward a new deal,
right.
You know, if he played well or whenever. I think it would be after the season. And I guess he's rescinded on that a little bit here. So
maybe he's changed his mind or whatever it may be. But the Jets took him at his word.
Which was dangerous. No, I'm not exonerating the Jets. I think the Jets messed up here. Clearly, they gave up on a valuable piece, very, in Bryce Huff. And they gave up a third-round pick, which is very good in the NFL. And they don't have somebody who's very, very important to the team in camp. I do think he plays. Now, I mean, he's got leverage, no question, because from a PR point of view, the Jets look bad here. But how much leverage does he have? Like, he's not 25 or 26. He's losing money. How many more big deals? I think he's 30, and he's really good. But how many more big deals does he have? He's got a little finite window to maximize his earning power.
Which is why he's trying to do it now.
Understood, but I think you ask for the moon, you get a star, you're happy. So right now, it's early. It's the July 24th. It's just 25th, whatever it is. Just starting out. Camp 24th. Just starting out with camp. And there's no real urgency. The Jets aren't, while they're unhappy, they aren't incredibly urgent. He's not ready to budge yet. They figure this will resolve itself, as do I, but just not yet.
And we'll see what could happen here for both these New Jersey teams.
No! Yeah, he loves to start stuff, doesn't he?
Well, is he wrong?
Literally, no. He's not wrong.
They both play in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm tempted to go to more games now because it's like a half hour from where I live.
Oh, it's a nice commute from where we are.
It's not bad. We just went last week. We went to that American Dream Mall. I couldn't believe.
Yeah, welcome to Jersey. Yeah. Man. It's not bad. Not bad.
All the stuff that they have there at that mall, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. You need a vacation there, but hanging out at the complex, and it will be there for Giants camp on the 20th of August.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that, but. MetLife Stadium now, 30-minute commute, a lot better than going over the George Washington Bridge and all the way back to Long Island in nearly 2 hours. I don't know how Giants and Jet fans do it, you know, every Sunday or whenever it is that their team is playing. But Rogers not technically wrong saying that they're the New Jersey Jets and the New Jersey Giants.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm sure some people will say, look, he's already starting controversy with something that should be, you know, fairly benign here. Right. No, he didn't look to do this the way it was presented. Context does matter. I don't think it's a big deal, even though he's literally right, but it does open up a territoriality within some people. At this point, I don't really care because I'm from New York. I live in Jersey. I'm a Jets fan.
Right,
it doesn't matter.
Isn't it all the same anyway? Like
I think there's a difference in tax dollars. I think that there's New Jersey.
I'm talking about sports fandom.
Go ahead.
Like the only divide is the Devils, right? The Nets aren't there anymore. What are the other Jersey teams? Am I missing something?
No, there's none.
Okay, so it's just the Devils. So where's the divide then between New York and New Jersey when it comes to sports teams?
No, there's not. I thought you meant I was thinking from a business perspective, which doesn't really matter to us at all and doesn't matter to the fans either. I'd love to see him go back to New York. I would only because I would like a better stadium. I would like something we can call our own.
They've been playing in Jersey. I honestly don't know.
Since 84, I want to say, was the first
year. Giant Stadium was born?
I think it was 84. No, for the Jets. The Giants moved there earlier.
Okay.
Left Shea. I believe their last game was 83. Their first game was in 84.
Okay. And the Giant Stadium has been around for how long?
79?
They were at Yankee Stadium, obviously, before that.
Late 70s?
This is what I'm talking about. This is
when they opened it up.
It's about, nearly 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I get
it. Of the Giants being in Jersey.
I know. But it's called the New York Giants and the New York Jets. And if you're a native New Jerseyan, I can see why that would offend you.
Which Rogers is.
Yeah. We,
and some of his teammates.
Doesn't live very far from us, by the way.
I know.
At all.
I know.
I've driven by his home.
Yes. And there's some other Jets that I...
Have you actually met?
I have not.
Unnamed
no.
Jet
no, no,
yet?
I have not.
Okay.
No, but Frank at Rails, I told you. And by the way, we got to go there.
I understand.
He wants to hang out with us and was checking out some of the housewives were in there.
What?
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, who's in there?
They filmed some kind of... I don't even know if it's the reunion special, but they were all there.
My wife still loves that show.
Oh.
She still watches it.
Yeah, we watch it all the time.
You watch it?
I will admit I'm getting to a point where I'm like, all right, I've had enough. They're all fighting with each other. They're all hating each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get it. Like, it's the same old stuff.
But I watch it with Tiki, really. Tiki didn't do anything. He was like the most non-combative person ever in the history of the Housewives show. Yeah,
but Frank tells me all the time, like, Barkley was in there. I told you, he said some others. I forget who exactly now, but no, not one of my neighbors around.
Who are you going to get to know?
Yeah.
Not many homes down.
No.
Have you actually seen his house?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Well, we could talk about that off.
Well, it's the kind of money Sal's making.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Moving from the overnight. Living four houses down from a superstar New York football player.
That point, it's more like, what the hell is he doing here?
Uh-huh. I know.
BT and Sal on the field. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. John is calling from New London. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call. New listener, just quickly.
Thank you.
Huge Mets fan. My question is, they want to be a playoff team. Why they can't score a base loaded less than two outs? I mean, normally a playoff series needs to get these runs. It's kind of abysmal to watch. And lastly, I understand you want to protect the pitchers, but it's painful to watch this bullpen sometimes. And I know they're going to hopefully make a transaction at the deadline, but why don't you push these veteran pitchers, up to 100 pitches, get them into the sixth inning? Because I feel like every out, the moment these starters come out, it's just the hope that they won't hit it out of the park.
Well, the game changed. It's a good call, John, and thank you for that call, and we appreciate you jumping aboard being a listener here. The game changed completely when the starting pitchers came out of the game yesterday. It came to a screeching halt. You get the bullpens in there. Yeah. Guys, it was just it was tough to watch. And I know it was a lot of drama, with the Mets and Yanks. But it was tough to watch. And Quintana, though, I thought was around 100 pitches. I'm trying to pull up the exact box score from last night. But I thought he was around that. You knew he was coming out of the game. He went the third time through the top of the order, I believe. And he was terrific. But you just knew that it was going to be much more than what he gave you. And the Mets bullpen right now is depleted. And they will make some moves. Now, I hate the idea that it's going to be just about the bullpen for the Mets and really probably nothing else, as that's where they're looking to make their mark. Quintana threw 94 pitches last night. So
yeah.
I knew he was around 80. Yeah, 94 pitches in 5 innings. Mets are going to add bullpen arms. And they need to. They cannot survive. I can't believe they survived last night. But it's not pretty when you're watching these starters go 5 and the game was in control and Quintana was dealing. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, we got 5 innings. Now how the hell, you know.
How do we piece it together?
Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. You're holding on for dear life with Ottavino and Young, Nunez and Maton. Maton's been fine. And then again, Diekman closing it out. Obviously, the Mets didn't have all their horses there with Diaz not being available or Buto not being available. Still, they need help with the bullpen.
Can I just do this now? I don't have the answer in front of me. It's more of a question than a presentation of fact here. But I don't know. I do think that we, with a lot of things, overly romanticize what was. Whether it's a TV show, oh my God, that show was so amazing. Was it really? Like, I love Three's Company in real time. And when I see it now, I still want to check out Chrissy, to be honest with you. she's holding up nice. I still laugh because I guess it transports me back 35 years ago, whatever. But is it really wittily written? Nah, I'm not really, like, not particularly. And I say this because I do think in our minds now, we are recreating what was. Like, we say pitchers don't go deep into games, and that's fairly true. When we see it and we sense it, there's a lot of stoppages and there's specialists and all that stuff. But I don't know. I don't think guys were going as deep into games back in the day as we kind of make it seem to be now.
Mm.
We just say it without any sort of substance. I mean, all right, so look, I typed in, this could work against me, honestly. I don't know if this will work for me. Okay, yes, it actually will. So I just typed in a random name. An all-time New York baseball pitcher from the last 35-ish, 40 years. All right? I'm not going to tell you who he is yet. And he played for almost 20 years, not all for New York team, most of them. 18 years to be exact. Mm-hmm. You know how many complete games he had in almost 20 years? Complete games. 26. I'm talking about Andy Pettit. And from the age of 32 forward, he had 2. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but complete games is different than going 6, 7
I understand that, but that's just a small example.
These guys are going 5 innings.
I know that's out. And I'm not.
And they're throwing 90 pitches in 5 innings.
Well, I'm not disagreeing just to disagree. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I get it. There's definitely a lessening of the leash, if you will. Guys, you're not allowed to go third time through the batting average. The analytics say that. I get all that. I'm with you.
A good start used to be 7 innings. Like, man, you go 7 innings, you had a really good start.
I'm with you. It looked good in the newspapers back in the day. It felt good. I agree.
Then 6 was like a quality start or whatever. And now it's like, wow, you went 5 innings.
But I can guarantee you that there's not a 2-inning disparity from 1980 to now on the average length by a starter. It's not like it was 7 then and it's 5 now. It was you're going to be stunned, and maybe I'll be dead wrong. I doubt it on this. I back then it was probably like 6-6 or even 5 2/3, and now it's 4 2/3. Like, I don't think there's this massive gap. It feels more.
Yeah.
I don't think that there is. I just
remember feeling, growing up watching the game, like if a starter went 5 innings, it was bad. Oh, we only lasted 5 innings today. That's a bad thing. Even if it were for a 5th starter, you know, I guess you'd take it for a 5th starter, but that wasn't a good performance. And now, with Luis Gil last night, and it's different maybe with the innings limit or whatever, with Gil specifically, but he threw 91 pitches in 5 innings. So if we're having guys limited to 100 pitches roughly, then they're going 6-7 innings max if they're really efficient, but generally 6 innings. 5 to me is really, really pushing.
You didn't do your job if you went 5.
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's why I say I largely agree with you. I think it's been hijacked a little bit. Like, I do think there's
5's the bare minimum to get a win.
You got to get a win.
Yeah, it's the bare minimum.
Well, I also, let me defend the starters now for a little, the modern starter. I also think that part of the reason why pitch counts go up so high now is that you've got to work extra hard to navigate these lineups. Everybody can take you deep. I don't know, back in the day, you're facing Manny Trio and Larry Boa. Here's a fastball, 90 miles an hour. You're going to do nothing with it because you weigh 181 pounds and you're going to bunt 76 times. You weigh 150 and you're going to bunt 37,000 times this year.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and by the way, once I navigate that, once I get to the ninth hitter, it's actually the pitcher who, if he's lucky enough to get first base, you're going to put on a satin jacket. That Run DMC, which, by the way, those jackets were awesome.
Yes.
Like they used to wear. That's how old those jackets are. So I know the pitch counts go up, which means you just don't go with the extra inning. But number one, almost everybody in the lineup could take you deep. And that was not the case back then.
Understood. But just from a sheer fan's perspective or the game in itself, you're watching that game last night. Quintana is dealing.
He pitched well.
Yes. But he pitched well for only five innings. Mm-hmm. And once he's out, whether it's right or wrong, and I understood why he's out. I mean, maybe he didn't have much more. It was 94 pitches anyway. But when he's out of the game, it's like, oh, crap. Like, how are you going to finish it off? A starting pitcher's job should be to get you closer to the win. Like, you really needed at least six from Quintana last night.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the Mets' bullpen being depleted. But the way that the game is, he threw 94 pitches, got through five, and we look at it and say, well, he was terrific last night. But it was just five innings.
Well,
and came back to cost.
It almost did. I mean, think about this. And again, I can't prove it, but you just know the type of hitting prowess now. Now, they swing and miss more, but they're much more dangerous. I mean, second baseman could take you deep. Center fielders could take you deep. Catchers could take you deep. I mean, Rick Cerrone back in the day was not taking you deep. I mean, John Stearns was a good player, was not taking you deep. Ron Hodges, who was a backup catcher for the Mets back in the day, was not taking you deep. Like, these catchers were non-threatening.
Yeah.
You had third baseman, first baseman, and maybe the right fielder who can shortstop. I mean, Bobby Meech and Rafael Santana, Bucky Dent. You know, these guys couldn't hit. So if you have five innings and to get through the lineup now, and let's just say you throw five extra pitches per inning. That's 25 extra pitches. Guess what? 25 extra pitches equates to a pretty laborious extra inning, which now brings five to six.
By the way, in real time, we were talking about this watching the game last night at SNY. There's a way the Mets could have conserved 12 pitches for Quintana. Automatically walk Judge.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They were walking him anyway. Just put him on.
Yeah.
You wasted 12 balls.
Well,
that 12 pitches could have been a sixth inning.
I think I'm debating everything now. I could also present the argument. I do believe this. That, yes, it's more economical in terms of time. But and you trust Quintana because he's a vet. If the game plan is do not give him anything remotely near the strike zone, he's not taking a slider that's going to hit a worm deep. Now, he might roll it over. It might pop it up.
Maybe could get him out.
Maybe the percentages go up by trusting a veteran to throw one 20 inches out of the zone and maybe Judge is just getting a little restless. I mean, I see.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both ways, but listen, it worked out for the Mets.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Joe is in Wappingers Falls. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys, listen, good afternoon. I wanted to say two things. First one, I'm glad the Yankees are in the free fall because it's going to make it easier for the Mets to sign Soto. Soto's not going to want to play for the Yankees if they don't have a complete team. And then second of all, can either one of you guys recommend where I can find a good broom? Because the Mets are going to sweep the Yankees.
Joe.
That was so witty. Ooh. Boy, that was top level. That was brilliant. I mean, that's why we're late to the break to take that call. Where can you find the broom?
I'm thinking the same thing myself, Joe. I'm thinking the same thing myself, Joe. I got to tell you, I know Joe Torre and Tino Martinez. They have nothing. And Lee Mazzilli, when he was wearing his Yankees. I know they have nothing to do with this iteration of the Yankees. Mm. However, it would bring me great joy to show up tomorrow at the, where is it, Safe Hollow? Sleepy Hollow. At the Sleepy Hollow.
Safe Hollow. At this rate, you go to Safe Hollow. I don't want to be near you if the Mets win four in a row.
It will bring me great joy to show up there at Sleepy Hollow Golf Club for Joe Torre with a broom in hand.
Would you really do that?
Yo,
would you really?
Baby.
Would you?
Yo, I got extra brooms at the house. I don't have any Lexus. We got some brooms. I know that. All right. There you have it. Call of the day. I'm not kidding. If the Mets break out the brooms tonight. Yeah, I feel good, BT, from a Mets perspective. Even though there are some issues I have. Like, I would trade Jeff McNeil instantly. There was some thought. Again, the base.
I'll take him.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, we talked about that. You and I debated that, I think, in the offseason.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, McNeil. And I think it was just McNeil, Torres, or whatever versions of the trade that we had.
Mm-hmm.
He would work on the Yankees right now.
Yeah, would.
And he's been fine for the Mets as of late. I don't understand how you have 5 home runs through the first 88 games and then 4 home runs in the last 5 games. That's what drives me nuts about McNeil. Oh, yeah, I found myself. I feel like myself. Happy, Jeff, just starting to hit the ball hard. Great. Now they should trade him because there's actually value there as opposed to selling at a low. So I would look to trade McNeil. But aside from that, the Mets are in a really good spot here. They have already won the Subway Series, 3 out of 4 minimum, and they have a chance tonight to steal one and go in there and beat Gerrit Cole, knock the Yankees ace out again, and sweep the Yankees and send them into a potential tailspin ahead of the deadline.
What do you mean send them into a tailspin?
Well,
they're in a tailspin.
Into the trade deadline, keep it going. I mean, if
you're doing us a favor.
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't mind if you kicked their teeth in tonight, honestly. I wouldn't mind it. I don't want to see that happen to Gerrit Cole.
I think you're trying to soften the blow.
No. I'm trying to make sure that Cashman understands that he better get going. And if you get punked, last night was close, but if tonight is like 7-2 Mets, and then the story's tomorrow, the show's tomorrow, Mets take the season series, they broom the Yankees 4-0, Yankees continue playing pitiful baseball, then you meet up with the Red Sox who are going to run wild on you. It's a bad matchup. As we already saw, though, that was more Trevino. Philly. And then Philly, they're both are on the road. 3 in Boston, 3 down in Philly. Like, you very well, big picture. I don't mean now. We're taking it on the chin a little bit emotionally here. But big picture, you might be doing the Yankees a favor to inspire them to act big.
I would think the favor would be you beat them so badly and they don't win a game ahead of the deadline. They realize, you know what, this team isn't good enough. And they sell.
You know that's not going to happen. Even if it's the prudent play, which I disagree with, we do fundamentally disagree there. There's no way they're doing that. There are seasons where you can punt.
Mm-hmm.
This would be like punting. I'm not saying that the Yankees are quite inside the tight red zone here, but like imagine foregoing the field goal and punting from your opponent's 9-yard line. I mean, with Soto and Judge, you just can't punt. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You cannot punt.
McNeil.
Yeah.
Beatty.
Talking trade now?
Yeah.
Get back Bader? Do we have him?
McNeil. Beatty. You want Bader?
I'll take him back.
All right, McNeil.
Get Grisham out of here.
You want a starter or no?
Yeah, let me hear your... who's this? Am I talking to Stearns? Are you calling? Who we got?
Yeah.
Is Stearns?
Stearns, what's going on, buddy? Right-hand man right now, just trying to come up with something. You want Bader? Yes or no?
Depends. I'm listening.
Well, who else? Would you want anybody? You want Marte?
Not a chance in hell.
McNeil, Beatty.
I'm listening.
You want Seve back?
I don't want Beatty. We're not interested in Beatty.
Oh, you don't want Beatty?
No, I thought you said Bader.
No, Beatty. McNeil and Beatty. You don't want Beatty. He can play third base right now.
And what, hit 190?
You got Jones in the lineup and J.D. Davis. You don't want Brett Beatty?
I mean, that doesn't make it better necessarily. I think you said Bader. I said we'll take him back.
Beatty's under control. At least you got some potential there. Yeah. Left-handed bat, Yankee Stadium. Guys hitting home runs in the minors.
We're good. We're good. With him. We're good. We don't need him.
You want Alonso?
No. You know I don't want Pete. Although that was a hell of a defensive play he made last night. That was a tough play. And then Quintana dropped it.
Here's my offer.
That's a nice play.
Here's my offer.
I thought of Hoffman as soon as he made that play. I swear to God, I thought of you, Pete. Everybody says he can't play D. That was a tough hop.
I know. And he made the play.
It's still a bad throw.
Still not an out, though. Anyway.
All right. Here's my offer. Just let me give you the offer.
I'm sorry.
You have any interest in minor leaguers at all or no? We're just dealing with...
Not the minor leaguers that you have. No. Not interested.
Okay. Are you interested in anybody in the starting rotation or the bullpen? You want a power arm into the bullpen? You want Diaz?
No, definitely don't want Diaz. He's got a couple of years to go on that $100 million 5-year deal. We'll pass on him. Okay. No, nobody in the bullpen, no.
You want Diekman?
No. Why would I want him?
Oh, I mean, looked pretty good last night.
He got Judge out? No, I'm good. Right, we don't need
here's
him.
The final offer.
Just
and
come up with a trade
it.
Here. Come on. I got the Toronto Blue Jays online, too.
You're being
flag.
Difficult.
Let's go.
McNeil and Beatty, and this is the final offer.
Okay, McNeil and Beatty.
For Soto.
Yes, guys. All right.
Soda.
Go. Hey, listen. When the gummy wears, when the gummy wears off, give me a buzz back. I know you're a little giddy from these three wins there, Stearnsy, but tap the brakes.
I was willing to give you more. You didn't want to work with anything else, but for now,
we don't have anything else.
All right.
I mean, if there was something appealing, I'd be all the ears.
Well, all you have is Soda. That's
it. Yep.
That's what I want. And guess what? If you don't want McNeil or Beatty for him now, fine. Just wait till November. Gone till November.
You want to trade?
Ooh. What do we have? We got some breaking news here. Pertaining to?
Well, by the way, I'm so happy that Hurley is in the control room because this is probably one of Hop's stupid sirens.
Oh, no.
Oh, come back in, boss.
What do we got?
Come back in.
It's basketball.
Okay.
It's an extension.
Hold on. Bridges.
No.
Okay.
Huh?
Who?
Tibbs.
Oh, interesting. Wow, Tom Thibodeau. Attaboy, Tommy.
What is it? What are the details?
3-year contract extension. I'll take him to 2027-28.
He has earned it. You said 3 years. I stepped on that. My bad. Three?
3 years.
Yeah. Okay, as I thought. 3 years. Outstanding. Changed the culture. His team loves him. It's a perfect fit. I know he's unique. And I know that not everybody wants to play for him, but the guys who play here and play for him want to play for him, and that's all that matters. Love it.
You know what's funny, BT? I didn't even think about Tibbs' contract because I just knew he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have it solidified. And again, the Knicks putting everything in order, getting everything in line. This is going to be their team. Now, obviously, there might be a change or two over the course of the next few years, but this is it. They're going to take their run at a championship. This is their head coach. We all knew that, but now it's just confirmed. This is going to be their star player with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and Bridges and so on. We'll figure out the other stuff with Randall and how they make that work, or who the backup center is going to be, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But all the pieces are in place, locked up, no question marks. What was his contract? He was up at the end of the year?
Yeah.
So this was going to be his lame duck year?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. So
I mean, we were at that point, yeah.
Right, but nobody ever thought, like, they're not going to make a change. These guys love Tibbs. He's the leader of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike Robert Saleh, who needs Aaron Rodgers to coach his players, Tibbs doesn't need a player to be the coach. He's the man. Even with stars on the team, he's the man. Saleh should take a lesson. Matter of fact, the Jets should hire Tibbs. The Jets should go hire Tibbs to give him some lessons, have Robert Saleh learn how to be a real head coach. Tibbs.
I'll tell you, you just shoot those strays at Saleh any chance you can, huh? Any chance you get. We're talking about Tom Thibodeau, and he's decking Robertson, which I don't have a problem with it, but it's funny how you reach for that card.
Saleh seems like a nice guy. Hey, look, I'm available to text if you'd like. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. You might be able to learn something from me.
Can you remember? I mean, just remember what went down with Beningo. Just remember that circus.
Come on.
And then Joe reads it all on the air. What'd you think was going to happen, coach?
Right.
But anyway, Tom Thibodeau. You know what I love about Tom Thibodeau as well? And listen, Pat Riley, when he was here, was amazing. Mm-hmm. Same with Parcells. But the mercenaries, jumper. Like, Tom Thibodeau wants to coach the Knicks. I can't prove this, but I believe this. As much as any NBA coach wants to coach any other team.
Right.
He loves the Knicks.
I've always wanted.
And that's why we love him.
Yes, that's exactly right. I've always wanted Van Gundy back.
Yeah, no, I love Van Gundy too.
But what better way as opposed to Van Gundy, a Van Gundy disciple.
I hear you.
He's the younger, you know, different person, but the same way we went from Riley to Van Gundy, it's Van Gundy to Tibbs. I know there was a bunch of guys in between, but for me, this is the best thing that the Knicks could have done, and maybe even better than bringing Van Gundy back himself. I don't know if it would have worked the same
way. That's interesting. You mean, you know, like Jeff Hornacek or Derek Fisher
Fisdale? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Name them all. Even D'Antoni. Like,
D'Antoni was good.
Yeah, but he was, yes. He was good.
Mike Woodson was pretty good for you, too.
Yeah, but they're not.
They're not Tom Thibodeau.
Well, they're also not. Like, Riley, to me, was the guy. Van Gundy, a Riley disciple who became the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tibbs is a connection to that.
Yes.
A Van Gundy disciple that has become the guy. All the other guys, some of them were good coaches, sure. But for the New York Knicks, for a team that, I know we always reference the 90s, but that was the last time they were good with some sustained success. So I'm chasing that, and Tibbs has connections to that. So anything with 90s Knicks ties, I'm all for it, especially with Van Gundy. And I, as much as I wanted Van Gundy back, I think Tibbs was the best man for the job, and I think he's proven that.
He's truly earned it. I mean, there. I guess whatever you get, you earn, literally. But, I mean, this was so broken, and it was broken by so many people, from ownership to management to GMs to coaches to team presidents to failed draft picks to sloppy free agent signings, mismanagements of the caps. I mean, asset allocation, awful in terms of giving picks away. Mm. I mean, it's not like you came here and the Knicks were like, you know, they went from a 50-win team to a 43-win team, and you just needed a little bit of a different voice. The Knicks were an absolute train wreck circus. And for this man to restore respect and pride in the one team that unifies this city, I'm happy for Tom Thibodeau. And the Knicks are, I'm going to use a word, I know we got to break that. I'm going to give you a word that I really never thought would ever apply to the Knicks again. Stability.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
Stable.
Yeah, that's the type of move that was today by Tibbs. So good job by the Knicks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. We got a couple of things for you here before we finish up on the phones. What do you got, BT?
Hip hop, hooray. All right, so we like this account, Talking Yanks. They do really good work. Okay, I know you're very familiar with it.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they're very good. I like them as well. So they just tweeted this. I guess it was in the last 15 or 20 minutes. The Yankees have concerns about how Jazz Chisholm's personality would fit inside of their clubhouse, according to league sources. All right, so this is either one of two things.
Didn't I tell you that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, you threw that out there. It's either one of two things. It's true, or it's the Yankees trying to, you know, weaken preemptively what the Marlins could ask. Because there are rumblings that he's a tough fit, all right? And if you don't have good leadership, whether it's the Yankees or any other team that might be inclined to go and get him, that it's going to be a tricky fit with him. And if you do this now, and I don't know if this is the case, that they're actually doing this on purpose. Maybe this is true. But if they're doing this just to maybe like weaken what the Marlins could ask or demand, maybe that's one aspect to it. But if the Yankees seriously don't think that they've got the leadership in Judge, in, I guess, Soto, even though we've been here a minute, Gerrit Cole, and the manager to have a player fit in and assimilate, well, then what the hell kind of culture do you have anyway?
Yeah.
Come on.
I know.
You're afraid of somebody that he's going to... You brought in Josh Donaldson. You weren't afraid to bring him in.
The way that it was explained to me from a baseball source with knowledge of the situation, when I was asking about Jazz...
That's some inside stuff here. Go ahead.
I do. And I don't know if I said this on the air or not, but I was saying, all right, well, would you trade for him? This is a few, you know, weeks back, whatever it may be, however long it was. And the response was, he's a bleep, but bleeps can play too.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need a team. Sometimes a team of choir boys isn't exactly going to work out.
True.
So let's say that Jazz is a jerk or whatever. I mean, he could play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, are you willing to take that risk? So point of me telling you that is that I do believe that that's legit. Like, I believe the Yankees have done their due diligence and have talked to people and have come across with that being the theme, that he could be a pain in the neck, maybe not a great teammate, maybe a bit of a bleep,
like,
or a me
guy,
whatever.
Do you have any more, like, how is he a jerk, if that's true? Like, is it just... He's so into himself.
I mean, I think that's part of it. Maybe not. Definitely being a me guy. I don't know about the work ethic being as great as maybe you'd want it to be.
Okay. I think there's fewer guys like that in 2024 than back in the day. I think you're almost not, even though there you can express more individuality now, don't you think it's harder to be a team cancer? Don't you think so?
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I don't know either. I'm just thinking out loud.
By the way, I was going to say, you know, I mean, the Yankees, they could do, they have plenty of ties to the Marlins.
Correct.
Like, this is not like,
yeah, You're not guessing.
Yeah.
You'll get an honest evaluation.
Right. So I do believe that there's truth. It's just a matter then. I mean, but look, similar stuff could have been said about Verdugo or Stroman or whoever else that they've
maybe
bought
Ruben
in.
Sierra back in the day. I'm not really sure what. He may have been a great guy. Maybe I'm just throwing names out. But like they brought other guys in that were expendable, that were bigger personalities, and it worked out. You can't be so risk averse. You got to do something.
But I just don't think that it's. I don't think it's the Yankees like softening the blow of not getting him. I think that there's a legit like concern there with that particular player.
Oh, I don't mean softening the blow to prepare the fans. What I'm saying is, if they put this, and I'm just thinking out loud again, if they put this
leverage,
out there,
gain leverage yeah.
like because oh man, he's such a wild child, or he's this and that. Yeah. We can't possibly justify giving up X, Y, and Z, but. Because he is a good player, will roll the dice for a lesser package back to you to justify taking on somebody who maybe is not a great lot. That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah, maybe. One more thing before we get to the calls here to kind of ties into Miami. I've had enough of, did you see this, like the Mets plane yesterday, I guess, or 2 days, whatever it was.
Yeah, coming back from Miami.
Yeah, okay. So they had some flight issues. Yeah. They didn't get in until 5, 6
in the
morning.
I think it's 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe later.
Like, come on. What? How about you working overnight for a couple years?
Yep.
Oh, God. We got home at 6 in the morning. Okay, and what'd you do? You went to bed.
They ain't leaving till 6 in the 6 in the
You went to bed. You slept all day. I mean, my God, whether it's the broadcasters talking about it. I was joking with Gelbs about it. They talked about it on SNY during the game last night.
I watched Yes last night, and I usually go back and forth. Were they complaining about it last night?
I don't know about complaining. Yeah, kind of, but they were just talking about getting in late. But then I was seeing, too, like Howie Rose tweeted about it, saying, oh, the Mets fighting off fatigue, winning.
Oh.
Like, come on. Are we really making that big of a deal of it?
On their
first class plane with their first class service, even if the Wi-Fi or whatever had to get shut down for a couple hours, so you could suck it up. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world to get home at 6 a.m. and go sleep in your mansions and your beautiful beds and then wake up and go play a baseball game.
I know. Listen, you know, Hop's on the Giants team plane a lot. I've been on the Knicks team plane back in the day a lot. I mean, you ain't lying. When you see what they, especially... I think football is a little different because it's so infrequently that you actually travel, you know, 8 or 9 road trips a year. But basketball and baseball, these things are pimped out. Yeah. It is insane. I remember the Knicks had a sushi spread as soon as you walked on the plane.
Yeah. You want travel issues? How about this? Get up at 6:30 in the morning, get in your car after getting your kid ready for school, helping your wife, dealing with that, getting your kid ready for school, drive to the Harrison Path station, walk up the stairs, wait for the transit train, get there, take that to Christopher Street, walk up the endless things of stairs, run in here to the new entrance to the building, work here all day, then go to SNY, then watch that slop of a game last night for 3.5 hours, get on the 12 a.m. transit train back home, drive another 40 minutes, take out the pails, take in the pails, get to sleep at 1 in the morning, then wake up again at 6 to do it all again. And not complain about it. That's what you should be doing.
You did complain a little bit there.
I'm just painting a picture of
you. Yeah, well.
Oh, we had a rough one. Off of doing overnights for 3 years, you know, sporadically and then regularly.
Like, you know, listen.
It's a little rough for me to hear, like, one night out of your life you got inconvenienced on a first class. But, like, as high-end as you can be,
it's high-end.
These poor players who are making millions and millions of dollars were inconvenienced for a night of sleep. Meanwhile, most of them party till the wee hours of the morning anyway.
I don't think they do that as much as they used to. That I don't believe. I don't. I think they're back in their rooms. I'm not saying they're not taking gummies or doing some stuff. I'm not saying that, but I don't think they're pounding. I do think a lot of players take that stuff. That I do. But they're not pounding 20 beers like Wade Boggs used to.
I think
those days are over.
Yeah. Understood.
I think.
BT and Sal celebrating 1 year on The Fan. It was a
happy
fun show.
Anniversary, brother. Give me some on that.
We'll see you again tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Let's go, Yanks.
Thanks to everybody who listened, everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hop as well. Thanks to my mom for sending us some Jersey Mike's for lunch. We appreciate it. Mama. Mom. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Evan and Tiki coming up next.
Really never thought would ever apply to the Knicks again. Stability.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
Stable.
Yeah, that's the type of move that was today by Tibbs. So good job by the Knicks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We got a couple of things for you here before we finish up on the phones. What do you got, BT?
Hip hop, hooray. All right, so we like this account, Talking Yanks. They do really good work. Okay, I know you're very familiar with it.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they're very good. I like them as well. So they just tweeted this. I guess it was in the last 15 or 20 minutes. The Yankees have concerns about how Jazz Chisholm's personality would fit inside of their clubhouse, according to league sources. All right, so this is either one of two
things.
Didn't I
tell you that a couple weeks ago?
You threw that out there. It's either one of two things. It's true, or it's the Yankees trying to, you know, weaken preemptively what the Marlins could ask. Because there are rumblings that he's a tough fit, all right? And if you don't have good leadership, whether it's the Yankees or any other team that might be inclined to go and get him, that it's going to be a tricky fit with him. And if you do this now, and I don't know if this is the case, that they're actually doing this on purpose. Maybe this is true. But if they're doing this just to maybe like weaken what the Marlins could ask or demand, maybe that's one aspect to it. But if the Yankees seriously don't think that they've got the leadership in Judge, in, I guess, Soto, even though we've been here a minute, Gerrit Cole, and the manager to have a player fit in and assimilate, well, then what the hell kind of culture do you have anyway?
Yeah.
Well, come on.
I know.
You're afraid of somebody that he's going to... You brought in Josh Donaldson. You weren't afraid to bring him in.
The way that it was explained to me from a baseball source with knowledge of the situation, when I was asking about Jazz.
That's some inside stuff here. Go ahead.
I do. And I don't know if I said this on the air or not, but I was saying, all right, well, would you trade for him? This is a few, you know, weeks back, whatever it may be, however long it was. And the response was, he's a bleep, but bleeps can play too.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need a team. Sometimes a team of choir boys isn't exactly going to work out.
True.
So let's say that Jazz is a jerk or whatever. I mean, he could play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, are you willing to take that risk? So point of me telling you that is that I do believe that that's legit. Like, I believe the Yankees have done their due diligence and have talked to people and have come across with that being the theme that he could be a pain in the neck, maybe not a great teammate, maybe a bit of a bleep,
like
or
a me
jerk,
guy,
whatever.
Like do you have any more, like, how is he a jerk, if that's true? Like, is it just... he's so into himself.
I mean, I think that's part of it. Maybe not. Definitely being a me guy. I don't know about the work ethic being as great as maybe you'd want it to be.
Okay. I think there's fewer guys like that in 2024 than back in the day. I think you're almost not, even though there you can express more individuality now, don't you think it's harder to be a team cancer? Don't you think so?
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I don't know either. I'm just thinking out loud.
By the way, well, I was going to say, you know, I mean, the Yankees, they could do, they have plenty of ties to the Marlins.
Correct. And,
like, this is not like...
Yeah. You're not guessing.
Yeah.
You'll get an honest evaluation.
Right. So I do believe that there's truth. It's just a matter then. I mean, but look, similar stuff could have been said about Verdugo or Stroman or whoever else that they've
maybe
bought
Ruben
in.
Sierra back in the day. I'm not really sure what... he may have been a great guy. Maybe I'm just throwing names out. But like, they brought other guys in that were expendable, that were bigger personalities, and it worked out. You can't be so risk averse. You got to do something.
But I just don't think that it's... I don't think it's the Yankees like softening the blow of not getting him. I think that there's a legit like concern there with that particular player.
I don't mean softening the blow to prepare the fans. What I'm saying is, if they put this, and I'm just thinking out loud again, if they put this
leverage,
out there,
gain leverage,
like, because, oh man, he's such a wild child, or he's this and that. We can't possibly justify giving up X, Y, and Z, but because he is a good player, we'll roll the dice for a lesser package back to you to justify taking on somebody who maybe is not a great lot. That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah, maybe. One more thing before we get to the calls here that kind of ties into Miami. I've had enough of, did you see this, like the Mets plane yesterday, I guess, or 2 days, whatever it was.
Yeah, coming back from Miami.
Yeah, okay. So they had some flight issues. Yeah. They didn't get in until 5, 6
in the
morning.
I think it was 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe later.
Like, come on. What? How about you working overnight for a couple years?
Yep.
Oh, God. We got home at 6 in the morning. Okay, and what'd you do? They, you went to bed.
They ain't leaving till six in the six.
You went
in the
to
morning.
Bed. You slept all day. I mean, my God, whether it's the broadcasters talking about it, you know, I was choking with Gelbs about it. They talked about it on SNY during the game.
I watched Yes last night, and I usually go back and forth. Were they complaining about it last night?
I don't know about complaining. Yeah, kind of, but they were just talking about getting in late. But then I was seeing, too, like Howie Rose tweeted about it, saying, oh, the Mets fighting off fatigue, winning.
Oh.
Like, come on. Are we really making that big of a deal of it?
On their
first class plane with their first class service, even if the Wi-Fi or whatever had to get shut down for a couple hours, so you could suck it up. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world to get home at 6 a.m. and go sleep in your mansions and your beautiful beds and then wake up and go play a baseball game.
I know. Listen, you know, Hop's on the Giants team plane a lot. I've been on the Knicks team plane back in the day a lot. I mean, you ain't lying. When you see what they, especially... I think football is a little different because it's so infrequently that you actually travel, you know, 8 or 9 road trips a year. But basketball and baseball, these things are pimped out. Yeah. It is insane. I remember the Knicks had a sushi spread as soon as you walked on the plane.
Yeah. You want travel issues? How about this? Get up at 6:30 in the morning, get in your car after getting your kid ready for school, helping your wife, dealing with that, getting your kid ready for school, drive to the Harrison Path station, walk up the stairs, wait for the transit train, get there, take that to Christopher Street, walk up the endless thing. The stairs, running here to the new entrance to the building, work here all day, then go to SNY, then watch that slop of a game last night for 3.5 hours, get on the 12 a.m. transit train back home, drive another 40 minutes, take out the pails, take in the pails, get to sleep at 1 in the morning, then wake up again at 6 to do it all again. And not complain about it. That's what you should be doing.
You did complain a little bit.
I'm just painting a picture of.
Yeah, well.
We had a rough life. Off of doing overnights for 3 years, you know, sporadically and then regularly. Like,
you know, listen.
It's a little rough for me to hear, like, one night out of your life, you got inconvenienced on a first class. But, like, as high-end as you can be,
it's high-end.
These poor players who are making millions and millions of dollars were inconvenienced for a night of sleep. Meanwhile, most of them party till the wee hours of the morning anyway.
I don't think they do that as much as they used to. That I don't believe. I don't. I think they're back in their rooms. I'm not saying they're not taking gummies or doing some stuff. I'm not saying that, but I don't think they're pounded. I do think a lot of players take that stuff. That I do. But they're not pounding 20 beers like Wade Boggs used to.
I think
those days are over.
Yeah. Understood.
I think.
BT and Sal celebrating 1 year on The Fan. It was
a fun
show.
Anniversary, brother. Give me some on that.
We'll see you again tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Let's go, Yanks.
Thanks to everybody who listened, everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hop as well. Thanks to my mom for sending us some Jersey Mike's for lunch. We appreciate it, Mom. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Evan and Tiki coming up next.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.